I'm gonna make him an offer again.
I feel the need for speed.
He's watched every movie more than once. He's Stephen Fenwick.
Go ahead. Make my day.
He's watched the latest Disney movies with his kids, but that's about it. He's Trevor Long.
You talking to me?
Together, they bring you the best movies you've never seen.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Rent, buy or stream the latest and greatest movies on Fetch. Watch on a big screen Hisense TV.
Say hello to my little friend!
The best movies you've never seen.
The first rule of Fight Club is... you do not talk about Fight Club.
With Stephen Fenwick and Trevor Long.
This is the captain. Brace for impact.
Hello and welcome to the Best Movies You've Never Seen podcast. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I am the movie nerd that's seen all of these movies, and I'm putting them to my good mate Trevor Long to watch every single week. That's why we've got a show called The Best Movies You've Never Seen. Trev, welcome.
Because I'm useless.
Well,
and I had a stilted childhood, obviously.
Yeah.
And
you'd rather watch cars driving around than movies. That's why we came up with this podcast in the first place. But I'm really happy that week by week we are getting a movie, you to watch a movie.
Yeah.
And in some weeks, a couple of movies.
We're now at over 130. We'd be cracking close to 140 now. It's awesome. It's awesome to have that bank. And I also love, and I talk about this a lot, but I love the idea of people who are just of a different generation to us. We're obviously old blokes.
There's a bunch of young people who
didn't know about these movies and might have seen this, in fact, as you're about to talk about. This is a movie that you might have seen a clip of, but have never actually seen the movie.
Yeah, there's a famous clip that we'll talk about. But the movie we're talking about is When Harry Met Sally. It was released in 1989, starring Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, directed by Rob Reiner. Now, Rob Reiner has directed a few big movies, including... he's got an amazing portfolio of movies he's directed. He directed this. He also directed A Few Good Men.
Wow, so that's a vastly different style.
He's got quite a talent as a director.
Yeah.
Now, it's actually based on his experiences post-divorce. So he was divorced, was single again, and it's based on that. And funny enough, he actually met his current wife while making this movie.
What? So,
that's funny. It was written by Nora Ephron. And
she related
says,
to Zach?
No, it's different spelling, I think.
Oh, okay.
But she said the structure of the film with much of the dialogue was based on the real-life friendship between Rob Reiner and Billy Crystal.
Right.
They're good mates. So she said that the scenes where Harry and Sally are talking on the phone watching things together, that's actually what Billy Crystal and Rob Reiner do often. Back then.
Wow.
So the character, she said, the character of Harry is based on Rob Reiner, and he was, after his divorce, he was a bit down and cynical. But yet he had a big heart, like the character in the movie.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And the character of Sally is, she says, based on herself, Nora, but really based on her sort of optimistic, always sort of looking, you know, a glass is always half full, not half empty, and loving, being in control of things. And so kind of opposites attracting in this case. And Sally Albright was basically Nora Ephron. Now, you'd heard of this, no doubt. And seen that very famous scene.
I've definitely seen the scene.
I've actually been to that deli myself.
Really? I can imagine too, I've certainly seen the scene and know of the movie and probably could have placed Billy Crystal in it.
Yep.
In a lineup, I probably would have placed Meg Ryan in it.
Yep.
But I certainly had no idea what the story was.
Okay.
So, no idea.
So you'd heard of it but never seen the whole thing?
No, absolutely not.
This actually won, it was nominated for an Oscar for the script. So Nora Ephron's script was nominated for Best Original Screenplay, didn't win. Now, there's a really great review written by Rita Kempley from The Washington Post. She said, "When Harry Met Sally is a sweet, embraceable comedy, a moonstruck Manhattan romance that, like a Gershwin tune, turns the sighs and glances, the spats and reconciliations, all the cliches of the heart into infectious melody. It's a movie that walks on air."
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Big call.
Yeah, it was. It was. I remember at the time seeing this and saw it at the movies. And I remember at the time it also was a massive break for Harry Connick Jr. Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah,
so music,
I noticed him in the intro. Like the, where
It Had to Be You. It was a massive hit of his. Mm. Thanks to this, really was a breakthrough for him.
Wow.
Put him on the. Like he was already known, but this really put him to on another level.
Nice.
Yeah. Alrighty, this is your last exit before the freeway. We are going to fall in love with When Harry Met Sally. If you haven't seen it, you can watch it through Fetch.
Because Fetch has all the streaming apps, so even if the movie's not available to rent or buy, it's probably on one of the streamers. In this case, I'm pretty sure I watched it on Amazon Prime Video, which is available right now on Fetch. Doesn't matter what you want, it's there. Prime Video, Paramount Plus, Stan, Apple TV, plus Disney+, Plus, Netflix, YouTube, all the streaming services you could ever need, plus this premium channel. So there's, I don't know, there's probably 50-odd premium channels there, from Comedy Central to Discovery Turbo to Animal Planet to MTV, ESPN, Discovery, you name it. They've got lots of channels, and those come in packs that are not crazy price. There's four different packs. There's $6 each, or you can have every channel for $20. It is unbelievable value, Fetch, and you can buy Fetch at leading retailers like JB Hi-Fi and Harvey Norman and Bing Lee, or if your internet provider makes it available, sign up. Get it happening. Aussie Broadband, iiNet, and of course, Telstra. FetchTV.com.au.
Alrighty, you have now not only just seen the clip of that scene at Cat's Deli, you've now seen the whole movie.
That's right.
And so give us your very first impressions.
Yeah, so I now understand.
Is it what you expected?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the basic principle of a romantic comedy, I was most put off by, and we'll get to it, but like when it was filmed and what Billy Crystal looked like when it was filmed, because I'm looking at the early part going, this is real, like, is that his real hair? Like, what? Is this when it was filmed? Like, is it this young in his career that he, you know, and then it evolved. You're like, oh, that's great makeup. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they should have got an Oscar for that. They did very good.
Pretty good.
Sally just aged beautifully. Based in reality, great concept. I think in many ways relatable for a lot of people in many parts, not entirely, but I think everyone takes a little bit out of it. And I think the best part about this movie for me is actually the way, and you mentioned it there, the character of Sally is written that you can learn so much about them very quickly, whether it's through restaurant ordering or whatever it is, that you really buy into their character. So both characters are not relatable, they're just, you understand who they are very quickly through simple scripting. So yeah, I quite enjoyed that part of it.
My concern, I was concerned that this being a very talky movie, it's very much dialogue driven. So not many car chases and explosions in this one, right? I was concerned of that for you. Was that something?
35? What are you talking about, mate? This is
Hello, great. But it's a very dialogue heavy movie.
Yes, but a lot of the dialogue,
it's good
a lot
for
of,
a start.
There's a bit of fluff in it too. Yeah. So the core of the dialogue is easy to get, but then whether it's Billy Crystal's throwaway line that might have been ad-libbed and what those kind of things, you get the core of the story quite easily in this.
Okay.
And that makes it engaging.
Yeah.
I actually, thinking about it now, sitting watching this, I felt engaged by the whole thing because I think it was pacey dialogue. You're right.
It was
good
dialogue.
Dialogue
was brilliant.
Yeah.
And so what are your social media
My
posts
social
on this?
Media on this is breaking news. She fakes it. if you want to know why.
We don't know how often that.
Watch When Harry Met Sally.
Well, that's funny.
Because there's another, like there's a famous Seinfeld scene. Of the same ilk, obviously plays on this, but
definitely,
you know, that episode is one of my favorite episodes, and this plays, you know, this plays out the whole characters in this much better way.
Well, I actually saw this with my future wife at the movies. Yeah, it was a bit uncomfortable, the fake scene, but that's okay.
It's been
a regular watch ever since for us. My wife has actually watched this more than once as well. She never watches movies more than once, my wife. I've seen that already. I think
that's pretty much me. Yeah, good. Okay.
Let's look at the cast and what a cast it is. Billy Crystal plays Harry Burns, and he was in City Slickers. Have you seen that?
No.
That's on the list. Analyze This. That's a good show with him and Robert De Niro. He plays an analyst, and Robert De Niro is a mobster, and he's Robert De Niro becomes one of his patients.
Okay.
Forget Paris, another comedy. Meg Ryan plays Sally Albright. Now, do you remember the movie that she got her massive break in, starring Tom Cruise, mid-80s, fighter jets?
Oh, Top Gun.
Hello. Right. Yeah, that was. Remember when she came, Goose's wife?
And of course, she was Goose's wife in Top Gun.
That was kind of her big intro to Hollywood.
Yeah,
and
the music,
what an impact she made.
Wow, yeah.
She's also in You've Got Mail, starring opposite Tom Hanks. Sleepless in Seattle, also with Tom Hanks.
Yes. See, it's funny because the recommendations under this movie You've Got Mail and Sleepless. Like, they're all romantic comedy style, yeah.
The other characters, Bruno Kirby played Jess, his male friend.
I've seen him a bit.
He was in City Slickers.
Right.
He was in Godfather Part 2.
Wow.
He was. Yeah, played.
He must have done a lot of TV because I've seen him a bit.
Yeah, done a bit of that. He was in Good Morning Vietnam as well.
Oh, can we do that? Because I saw that as a
on
kid,
our list,
I'm sure.
On our list. But he passed away in 2006.
Really?
At age 57.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah.
Did you also notice Carrie Fisher?
Well, I didn't notice her because I wouldn't know her from a bar of soap, but I noticed her name in the titles and I went,
hello.
Oh, that's Star Wars lady.
Princess Leia. Star Wars lady. Well, guess what?
Who was she? Which one was she?
Princess Leia.
Yeah, in this movie. I don't know.
Oh, no, she was Marie.
Oh, she's the other girl in the double date.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Marie. Yeah, so she was in the original Star Wars trilogy and the sequel Star Wars trilogy.
She's the one that kissed her brother. Yeah, go on.
There you go. And she also, like her, Bruno Kirby died young, 57.
Yeah,
she passed away in 2016. She was 60.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, Anyway, before we dive into it, let's talk about Hisense. And you know what? Hisense is all about not only creating value and quality, but also size.
Yeah.
Size matters in TVs, Trev. Do you agree? They have sizes.
Hello, 100-inch TV in my lounge room wall.
Well, their ULED series, they do have sizes ranging from 55-inch all the way up to 100-inch. And they are going to have, is it 110-inch screen?
I believe it is,
This year as well. But at the moment, you can go 55, 65, 75, I think, is becoming the new normal. Don't you reckon? The new size people jump on.
We've heard data that 40% of TVs this year are going to be 75-inch or more.
And bigger. They've also got 85 and 100-inch. Now, all the people that I've recommended big-screen, high-sense TVs have not one of them has said, oh, you know what, that TV's
too big. Yeah, no one says that.
No one has ever said that. Bigger is better when it comes to televisions, and it does also contain their amazing mini LED technology. And that combined with their quantum dot creates vibrant and realistic colours, impressive contrast, and their trademark bright picture. And it's also good for gamers. If you like gaming, who wouldn't want a game on a 100-inch screen? 144Hz Game Mode Pro makes your game really pop. Dolby Vision IQ and HDR10 Plus. It's got the HiView engine that can process what you're watching in real time to optimize it to its best quality. It also has an amazing VIDAR Smart U operating system as well, so you can see, navigate the menu really quickly, see all the sort of the top line best content from all your streaming services, and really find what you want. And if you love watching sport, hello, it's a big screen, but also has that the 200Hz refresh rate as well. So everything looks nice and smooth. If you want to get down, head down to a store. We can talk all day about how good Hisense is, but I think
get in front of one.
Lay your eyes on one yourself. You'll see the quality for yourself. Also, check them out, hisense.com.au. Are you ready to fall in love, Trev?
I might have to fake it.
Now, I love how this is structured. This movie's structured.
Can I tell you what I hate already about this movie?
Don't say the testimonials because we've got all six of them. The old folk talking about their...
that I love. I'll tell you right now, that's my favourite part. I've got all six of them in the show. That's my favourite part, okay?
That's good.
But right. The titles? It's just,
the titles.
Okay, actor after actor after person.
Oh, you mean
after,
just the black screen?
Seriously, can we just... I skipped. I don't want to know who's in the frigging movie. Can we just skip forward?
Let's talk about that because I think there are some movies that the opening credits actually provide information.
That's right. This does not.
This is just gives them the credit, like
this
on a black screen.
This is just giving them credit.
Yeah,
this is just a contractual
obligation.
So
you would rather see, like, I don't know, the skyline of New York with the names
just
or something?
Just get to the movie. Just, you know what, open up.
Yeah.
with one of the first testimonies. It would have been dramatic.
Yeah, well, that's
and
what it
awesome.
Did. It did, actually. Yeah, yeah.
So, mate, so. I'm calling for Hollywood to drop the credits. I know it's in your contracts and you all love seeing your name on the screen.
But some movies don't have the credits at the start. Some of them have at the end.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. But that's sort of a more modern thing. This was sort of more traditional.
Anyway,
yeah.
It
but it does
me.
Open up, though, with one of those testimonials.
I was sitting with my friend Arthur Kornblum in a restaurant. It was a horn and dotted cafeteria. And this beautiful girl walked in, and I turned to Arthur, and I said, Arthur, you see that girl? I'm going to marry her. And 2 weeks later, we were married. And it's over 50 years later, and we are still married.
That's lovely. Cute. Now, those so testimonials,
the
those segments.
One, the first one, I thought, oh, that's interesting, that's good, yeah. But it's not until you get into them you realise.
Oh, yeah, they're all different, yeah.
I'm gonna give you my thought on them,
yeah.
That you realise they're just absolutely beautiful couples that are asked to tell the story. They've probably told it a few times for camera,
yes.
But it's not scripted, is it?
Well,
tell me it's scripted.
The
please
segments,
tell me it's not scripted.
No, the segments of the married couples telling the stories are real stories.
Yes.
The director, Rob Reiner, collected these stories.
Yes.
Then they hired actors to relay the stories. Yeah. So the real stories, but they hired actors to make them look like they
that
were legit.
It's just broken my heart.
Yeah. Well, maybe some of them didn't want to be on.
That's
camera.
Man.
But they're real stories, though. Every one
doesn't,
of the stories
no, it
are real.
Doesn't change. Some of them are cute as hell.
Oh yeah, they are. They are.
Oh, I'm very disappointed now. All right, you've destroyed me.
Let's start. 1977, yep. University of Chicago. Harry Burns, Sally Albright introduced. They're about to jump in the car to go from Chicago to New York after graduating from the University of Chicago.
This makes no sense to me. It's like he's kissing someone on the sidewalk and then someone else turns up and he's taking him away. It's like
well,
the context
we're gonna,
is.
Going to get a lift.
I we're know,
share
but
the trip.
I feel like the context is lost. I think the context needed to be.
Okay.
Just one line when they're in the car is like, like he could have said, you know, it's great that you did this for me because I would never have got there otherwise. Or I don't know. I just feel like it was weird.
We established the fact that they're going, it's a long trip. They're going to they're spending a bit of time together.
Yeah.
We know that he's involved with some other woman. He's kissing her and she's saying, to get started.
Yeah, yeah.
But did you notice, like you mentioned earlier, that Billy Crystal was sort of like, looked like had a different hairstyle.
Yes.
Sally's hairstyle was this. Don't forget, this was 1977.
Yeah,
was modelled after Farrah Fawcett.
Right.
Did you notice that she looked like Farrah Fawcett in Charlie's Angels?
She's just
they
great
deliberately
to me.
They
like.
Was one of the most copied hairstyles in the world at the time, and they gave it to Sally.
Right.
We also on the journey we witnessed Sally's ordering style.
Yes.
When they stop at a diner.
What can I get you?
I'll have a number 3.
I'd like the chef salad, please, with the oil and vinegar on the side and the apple pie a la mode.
Chef and apple a la mode.
But I'd like the pie heated, and I don't want the ice cream on top. I want it on the side, and I'd like strawberry instead of vanilla if you have it. If not, then no ice cream, just whipped cream, but only if it's real. If it's out of a can, then nothing.
Not even the pie?
No, just the pie, but then not heated.
Uh-huh.
Is that what it's like being with me at a hamburger joint?
Yes. It is a bit like you. Now, the concept of her being a very fussy orderer and picky eater is actually from Nora Ephron. She's
right.
Like that. She said years after the movie came out, this is her saying, she was on a plane, she ordered something very precise and the stewardess said to her, right, have you ever seen the movie When Harry Met Sally? And she went, darling, I wrote it. Hello, that's me.
That's so good.
She was. She gave herself up.
That's awesome.
On the trip, I love this. They discuss their differing views
because
on
relationships.
Because
you need to have the exposition here. You've got this early, now that I look back at it, you realize this trip is a very early, fast
info
exposition
dump.
Of characters.
Yes. So Harry's arguing that men and women can't be friends without romantic feelings getting in the way.
We are just going to be friends, okay?
Great, friends. It's the best thing. You realize, of course, that we could never be friends.
Why not?
What I'm saying is, and this is not a come on in any way, shape, or form, is that men and women can't be friends because the sex part always gets in the way.
That's not true. I have a number of men friends and there is no sex involved.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You only think you do.
You're saying I'm having sex with these men without my knowledge?
No, what I'm saying is they all want to have sex with you.
They do not.
Do too.
They do not.
Do too.
How do you know?
Because no man can be friends with a woman that he finds attractive. He always wants to have sex with her.
So you're saying that a man can be friends with a woman he finds unattractive?
No, you pretty much want to nail him too.
And that's kind of the theme of the whole movie, moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's set if you don't have that moment, a lot of the context of everything doesn't work.
Totally right. They arrive in New York at Washington Square Park. You know, yes. That's part of town. Very nice part of town. They say to each other, see you later, have a nice life, expecting never to be seen again.
Unbelievable.
I do love that on the trip, there were a couple of things I was talking about. They were debating the end of Casablanca. I'd love to talk to you about it, but you wouldn't know the end of Casablanca.
No, I completely washed over that
one. It's basically Katharine Hepburn saying, and Humphrey Bogart's character, Sam Spade, her making the decision and to leave, to go back to Paris, not stay with him in Casablanca.
Is that the movie they're watching later on?
Yeah, together. It is one of the classed as one of the best movies of all time. And it's on our list.
Is Gone with the Wind on our list?
Is which one?
Gone with the Wind?
Not at the moment.
Oh, interesting.
Not at the moment. But we'll get to it. Yeah, we're gonna have to go. I like to vary the sort of time periods and the genres, you know. Okay. So we might get to that. But Casablanca is definitely on the list. I do like that Harry reveals that he always reads the last page of his book first.
Yep.
I couldn't do that.
And then we see him do that later.
He does it later in the written Robert Ludlum book. And that Sally has very particular and specific tastes.
I relate.
The characters are established. Yep. Yeah.
It's a good little exposition early on.
And I love – so the structure of this is that there's some time gaps.
Yes.
And that there's a testimonial at
the start of every movement of time.
Right. We fell in love in high school.
Yeah, we were high school sweethearts.
But then after our junior year, his parents moved away.
Unbelievable.
But I never forgot her.
You never forgot me.
No, her face was burned on my brain. And it was 34 years later that I was walking down Broadway and I saw it come out of Toffin Eddie's.
And we both looked at each other and it was just as though not a single day had gone by.
She was just as beautiful as she was at 16.
He was just the same. He looked exactly the same.
The stories. So what has that really affected you? That they're actors. They're real stories.
That's great, mate.
They're just actors delivering them.
They were cute couples, and I'm frustrated they were cast.
But the actors are cute.
They were cast.
Okay. Look, it doesn't take me out of it. I think those performances are still pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's 5 years later, 1982. Harry spots an old friend who is making out with a woman who turns out to be Sally.
Yeah.
Now we learn that Harry is a political consultant.
Yes.
And here's what I reckon, and every time I watch this, I'm thinking, does he recognize her or is he pretending not to know her?
I think in the first one he doesn't. So in this instance, because he recognizes the bloke, the lawyer that she's with, not her, and it's not until she says something. So I believe that in the early one he doesn't.
Yeah, I'm thinking he does. He just doesn't want to be rude. He doesn't want to put himself in an awkward position with his mate.
No, I reckon he knows her. I think it's meant to project that he has been with and seen so many women that he has no recollection of this one.
But I think what tips the scale is that Sally's on her flight and is then asked what she wants to drink.
And what would you like to drink?
Nothing, babe. Do you have any Bloody Mary mix?
Yes.
No, wait. Here's what I want. Regular tomato juice, fill it up about 3/4, then add a splash of Bloody Mary mix, just a splash, and a little piece of lime, but on the side.
The University of Chicago, right?
Yes.
Did you look this good at the University of Chicago?
No.
Did we ever...
No. We drove from Chicago to New York together after graduation.
Would you two like to sit together?
No. Great, thank you.
She's like, no.
So, yeah, I love her. So did we ever make the fist pumping?
It's the gesture that matters.
The fist pumping gesture there, I don't know what that means. But
I can imagine.
Yeah. They're sitting together.
So now they are sitting together.
They're having a great little catch up.
You were going to be a gymnast.
A journalist.
Right, that's what I said.
So close. And
I am a journalist. I work at the news.
Great. And you're with Joe.
Well, that's great. Great. You're together, what, 3 weeks?
A month. How did you know that?
You take someone to the airport, it's clearly the beginning of a relationship. That's why I have never taken anyone to the airport at the beginning of a relationship.
Why?
Because eventually things move on and you don't take someone to the airport. And I never wanted anyone to say to me, how come you never take me to the airport anymore?
It's amazing. You look like a normal person, but actually you are the angel of death.
Are you gonna marry him?
We have only known each other for a month, and besides, neither one of us is looking to get married right now.
I'm getting married.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
You are? Who is she?
Helen Hilson. She's a lawyer. She's keeping her name.
You're getting married.
Yeah.
What's so funny about that?
It's just so optimistic of you, Harry.
Well, you'd be amazed what falling madly in love can do for you.
You know what I hear when I hear, like, there's several of these in just that grab there with Harry. Seinfeld episodes.
Exactly what I thought. Yeah, the trip to the takes him to the airport.
Yep.
Yeah,
the keeping the last name.
Yeah, yeah.
The keeping the last
her
name.
Helen, and she's keeping her name.
You know how Seinfeld has like three story arcs in each one. Yeah. The keeping the last name is like the Kramer one. It's like the third, just inconsequential, but it's there.
I always thought the exact thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it was around. It was a few years before. Like, what was Seinfeld? 1990 around that.
Ended in 1998.
Yeah, so it was around this time where it was sort of being developed. So, yeah, it was around this time.
I think it just goes to, well, if Rob Reiner and Billy Crystal's a mate, you reckon Billy Crystal knew that Rob was writing this? You know, he didn't write the script, but how does that work?
Because Rob Reiner is also
what does he
part
do? He comes up with the idea of it, and then Nora writes the script.
Yeah, well, she got the inspiration.
So he might have sent her little notes going, you should mention this, because
absolutely
a lot of it is based on him. Okay.
Yeah. So we're up to another testimonial here, and this means another passage.
I don't want to hear anymore.
We were married 40 years ago. We were married 3 years. We got a divorce. Then I married Marjorie.
But first you lived with Barbara.
Right, Barbara. But I didn't marry Barbara. I married Marjorie.
Not really his wife.
Then he got a divorce.
Right, then I married Katie.
Another divorce.
Then a couple of years later at Eddie Colicchio's funeral, I ran into her. I was with some girl I don't even remember.
Roberta.
Right, Roberta. But I couldn't take my eyes off you. I remember I snuck over to her and I said, what did I say?
You said, what are you doing after?
Right. So I ditched Roberta. We go for coffee. A month later, we're married.
35 years the day after our first marriage.
I like how he says, what did I say? And she remembers everything.
I just can't believe they're not real.
Okay. Okay, we
just
understand
so you know,
that
is affecting my rating.
Oh, really? Okay.
I had a number in my head.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That is affecting my rating. Rob Reiner,
let's see if we can.
Okay. Well, Rob, if you're listening, affecting my rating.
Let's see if we can get you back up again. Okay. So the testimonial obviously brings with it another time jump.
Yep.
Sally, it's 5 years later, 1987.
Yep.
That's the year I met my wife, by the
way. Oh, lovely.
Sally's with her friends. One is dating a married man. This is Marie, you know, Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia.
Yep.
She's the one dating a married man. Yeah, and throughout the movie, she's saying, he's never going to leave her.
Yes.
She's talking about finding receipts.
It's a good little
receipts.
Arc that gets there in the end.
He just bought a new dining table. And there's this. And they keep saying that he's never going to leave her. She also says, Sally says that she and Joe have broken up.
Yes.
The dude from the airport, remember before?
Yeah. But you've got to pay a lot of attention here to get those time jumps.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you got to remember in this point that it's now 5 years later. So you realize now they were together a while.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like they broke up after the flight.
It was 5 years.
That's what I'm saying.
5 years.
It's not like they broke up after the flight.
No.
They broke up recently. They'd been together for 5 years.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and that helps. I think that helps, but you've got to pay, you've got a lot of attention to see
it. It pays off later in the movie she finds out something about him. But Marie tries to set her up with a friend. Did you like how she put out a little Rolodex, little cute little cards?
My favorite part is, do you know the name of the first person she suggests?
No.
He's like, it's AA. First one in the Rolodex. She pulls out Aaron Aiken, you know?
Aiken, yeah.
It's like,
and go, he's literally married, gone. And then she folds it.
The second one's married, but it's like the first one is literally the first one in your Rolodex, love. You didn't go too hard.
That's good spotting.
Oh, geez.
So we see, though, cut to Harry and Jess, so Bruno Kirby's character, are at the football, and he's saying he's getting separated.
When did this happen?
Friday. Helen comes home from work and she says, I don't know if I want to be married anymore. Like it's the institution, you know, like it's nothing personal, just something she's been thinking about in a casual way. I'm calm. I say, why don't we take some time to think about it? You know, don't rush into anything.
Yeah, right.
Next day, she says she's thought about it, and she wants a trial separation. She just wants to try it, she says. But we can still date. Like, this is supposed to cushion the blow. I mean, I got married so I could stop dating. So I don't see where we can still date as any big incentive, since the last thing you want to do is date your wife, who's supposed to love you. Which is what I'm saying to her when it occurs to me that maybe she doesn't. So I say to her, don't you love me anymore? You know what she says? I don't know if I've ever loved you.
Ooh, that's harsh. You don't bounce back from that right away.
Thanks, Jess.
Thanks, Jess.
Do you like, too, that they were doing the Mexican wave and during still, the whole conversation? They were still, jumping up and doing the Mexican
thing
wave.
About that, and you can hear it in his voice, yeah. I think that this movie demonstrates a really great acting from Billy Crystal.
Yep.
You know, we talk about comedians like Robin Williams, unbelievable comedian and brilliant character actor and just general actor, right?
Yeah.
You've got to say Billy Crystal's pretty bloody good because he really portrays these moods.
Yeah.
You can't just be on all the time when you've just been divorced and you're portraying a essentially angry bloke who's been divorced.
I think the person, it helps that Billy Crystal and Rob Reiner are good friends.
Yes.
Because, you know, don't forget, this is kind of Rob Reiner he's playing. So I think his personality similar. It definitely suits the role for sure. But Harry and Sally spot each other in a bookstore. I love when Marie says, there's someone looking at you from personal growth. From the different
as in the section of the
and,
book, yeah.
And they end up walking. I think Marie leaves,
thinking this is an opportunity for Sally.
So she gets out of the way. They tell each other about their recent breakups, and Harry makes a little confession.
You know, the first time we met, I really didn't like you that much.
I didn't like you.
Yeah, you did. You were just so uptight then. You're much softer now.
You know, I hate that kind of remark. It sounds like a compliment, but really, it's an insult.
Okay, you're still as hard as nails.
I just didn't want to sleep with you, and you had to write it off as a character flaw instead of dealing with the possibility that it might have something to do with you.
What's the statute of limitations on apologies?
10 years.
Ooh, I can just get it in under the wire.
Would you like to have dinner with me sometime?
Are we becoming friends now?
Well, yeah.
Great. A woman friend. You know, you may be the first attractive woman I have not wanted to sleep with in my entire life.
You know, the beautiful thing about that is that the music, it's just, it had to be you, Harry Connick, just great. A different style.
Mate,
it's just...
I bought the Harry Connick Jr. album after this.
Yeah,
I bought it. And Joe and I used to play it it was on CD and we played it on the CD in the car.
Oh. Yeah. Wasn't on 8-track?
No, it wasn't 8-track. Not that old, you idiot. Anyway, another testimonial. So this means another time jump.
We were both born in the same hospital.
1921.
7 days apart.
I like these two as well.
We both grew up one block away from each other. On the Lower East Side.
On Delancey Street.
My family moved to the Bronx when I was 10.
We lived on Fordham Road.
Hers moved when she was 11.
I lived on 183rd Street.
For 6 years, she worked on the 15th floor.
I worked for a very prominent neurologist.
Where I had a practice on the 14th floor, the very same building.
We never met.
Never met.
Can you imagine that?
You know where we met? In an elevator.
I was visiting family.
In the Ambassador Hotel in Chicago, Illinois.
He was on the third floor. I was on the 12th.
I rode up 9 extra floors just to keep talking to her.
9 extra floors.
I really love that couple. They were my favorite.
They were good.
But they're just a couple of actors.
Oh, come on.
I'm gutted.
Forgive that, mate. Forgive it.
You should stop playing these things.
Forgive
it is affecting
it.
This movie's ratings so badly.
I've got two more. Okay. All right. A couple of years later, 1989.
Yeah.
Harry and Sally are now friends, but both still single. I think that there's a little.
They're on the phone.
They're watching
this is where
Casablanca.
They start having these long phone calls.
This is a really good thing. They talk about whether she's high maintenance or not.
Ooh, Ingrid Bergman. Now she's low maintenance.
Low maintenance.
So I mentioned. I said it was Catherine Hepburn before. It's Ingrid Bergman
and low maintenance.
And Ingrid Bergman is low maintenance.
And LM definitely.
Which one am I?
You're the worst kind. You're high maintenance, but you think you're low maintenance.
I don't see that.
You don't see that? Waiter, I'll begin with a house salad, but I don't want the regular dressing. I'll have the balsamic vinegar and oil, but on the side. And then the salmon with the mustard sauce, but I want the mustard sauce on the side. On the side is a very big thing for you.
Well, I just want it the way I want it.
I know. High maintenance.
Yeah, that was my blue. It's Ingrid Bergman.
Oh, don't worry, mate. Move on.
Yeah, not Catherine Hepburn. Now we see this little montage of scenes, time's passing. They're still good mates, but it's obviously a platonic relationship.
Yep.
There's no funny business going on. They're just mates.
And I think the critical thing here is because obviously you've got in your mind Harry's whole speech about, you know, bloke can't have friends and all that kind of stuff. This, essentially a large part of this part of the movie is to make you realise that he genuinely is not interested in her.
Yeah. Like, they're just mates.
There's plenty of opportunity.
Yeah. Haven't you got a friend like this? You got a female friend.
My best friend.
Yeah. Your best friend is a woman.
Yeah.
There you go. And so do you agree with Billy Crystal?
You just cannot relate to that, can you?
I don't know. I don't have a close female friend.
Because you didn't go to a co-ed school.
I went to an all-boys school, yeah. That's effective.
Best man at my wedding was Kirsty.
Was a woman.
Yeah.
There you go. And so this is, would you just, well, let's save that for later, okay? Save that for later. I've got questions for you later, all right?
Okay.
Okay, so we see this montage, so that they're in a museum.
Yeah.
And Harry's talking with a funny accent and gets Sally to copy him.
Waiter, there's too much pepper.
On my paprikash.
On my paprikash.
But I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
Oh, no.
But I would be proud.
To partake.
Of your pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Would you like to go to the movies with me tonight?
Would you like to go? Wait.
Not to repeat, please, to answer. Would you like to go to the movies with me tonight?
Oh. Well, I'd love to, Harry, but I can't.
What do you have? A hot date?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to tell you about it, but I don't know. I felt strange about it.
Why?
Well, because we've been spending so much time together.
Oh, I think it's great that you have a date.
You do?
Yeah.
Now, in this scene, did you watch this scene closely?
Broadly, yeah.
Completely improvised.
What?
If you watch it again, okay, watch it again. Now, in this scene,
yeah,
she's following on with him, and there's a section where she looks off to her right, looking at the director, looking at Rob Reiner, and he's saying, go with it, go. He's saying, yeah, keep going. Like, it's, she's looking off screen thinking, are we going to still do this? Yeah, what are we doing? And he said, yeah, it's good, keep going. You watch it. She just looks off screen. Wow. Really, obviously, when you know, it's obvious.
I think I saw it, and I think I assume she was, because there's people in the scene as well. It's a museum, maybe. It's quiet, but there's a couple of people.
But she looked at, that is what happened. She looked, and he said, nah, all good, keep going. Silently telling her, yeah, okay, go. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And they kept it in. Jess and Harry are at the batting cage. You like this one?
By the way, Jess is short for what?
Jesse? I don't know.
Jesse. Jess. I was trying to think of a male name.
It's like a female name, eh? Yeah. Jess, but I don't know. Jesse, I suppose it is.
Yeah, I assume it's short for something. So, yeah, let's call Joe Jesse. Yeah.
But, they're in the batting cage and talking, and he's asking about his relationship with Sally.
Hmm.
I don't understand this relationship.
What do you mean?
You enjoy being with her?
Yeah.
You find her attractive?
Yeah.
And you're not sleeping with her?
No.
You're afraid to let yourself be happy.
Why can't you give me credit for this? This is a big thing for me. I never had a relationship with a woman that didn't involve sex. I feel like I'm growing.
Are you finished?
Hey, I got a whole stack of quarters and I was here first.
We're not.
Was two.
We're not.
Was two.
Big jerk.
Creep.
Little creep.
Where was I?
You were growing.
Yeah. It's very freeing. I can say anything to her.
Are you saying you can say things to her you can't say to me?
No, it's just different. It's a whole different perspective. I get the woman's point of view on things. She tells me about the men that she goes out with, and I can talk to her about the women that I see.
You tell her about other women?
Yeah. Like the other night. I made love to this woman, and it was so incredible. I took her to a place that wasn't human. She actually meowed.
You made a woman meow?
Yeah. That's the point. I can say these things to her. And the great thing is, I don't have to lie because I'm not always thinking about how to get her into bed. I can just be myself.
Boom.
Boom. There it is.
All right, we're up to
because them. I think that scene's important.
Yeah.
Because with the museum scene, he asks her out to the movies. You haven't seen them talk about where they're going or what they're doing, and you could think that that's him asking her out on a date, but it's actually just him organising their next get together, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's important that he then either you have this baseball scene to kind of just bring him back to okay, no, he's cool with,
and he's dating
he's
other
totally
women
totally fine with where they're at. He's totally fine.
Yeah. Because she's got a date. He's been dating.
Yes.
He made a woman meow. Whatever that means. Now we're at the famous fake orgasm scene.
Yeah, right. Okay. Tell me about the diner.
I will tell you after this.
You know, I'm so glad I never got involved with you.
I just would have ended up being some woman you had to get up out of bed and leave at 3 o'clock in the morning and go clean your andirons. And you don't even have a fireplace. Not that I would know this.
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
Hey, I don't feel great about this, but I don't hear anyone complaining.
Of course not. You're out the door too fast.
I think they have an okay time.
How do you know?
I mean, how do I know? I know.
Because they...
Yes, because they...
How do you know that they're really...
What are you saying? That they fake orgasm?
It's possible.
Get out of here.
Why? Most women at one time or another have faked it.
Well, they haven't faked it with me.
How do you know?
Because I know.
Oh. Right. That's right. I forgot. You're a man.
What is that supposed to mean?
Nothing. It's just that all men are sure it never happened to them, and most women at one time or another have done it, so you do the math.
You don't think that I can tell a difference?
No.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. And I won't play you the actual fake orgasm.
Thank you. Thanks
right?
for sparing us. Yeah.
But just to let you know, Nora Ephron, the writer, in an interview in the early 2000s, confirmed that it was Meg Ryan who came up with the idea of faking the orgasm.
Rather than just talking about it.
Yeah, and also setting it in the restaurant scene, so having it in a public place. That was all Meg Ryan's idea.
Wow, that's awesome. So essentially the script was they talk about this and then they move on.
That's it. And then she then remember how he says, oh, you couldn't tell? He goes, I could tell. Get out of here. And then she puts it on, and convincingly you're thinking, holy hell, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So she does proceed to do that. And then I do love the reply, though, from the woman next
yes.
door.
Yes.
I'll have what she's having.
That's one of the famous lines
as
well.
It's one of the great lines of the world now.
I'll have what she's having. And the scene was filmed at Cat's Deli, which is an actual restaurant.
I've been there.
In New York's East Houston Street. You don't say Houston, it's Houston in New York. And the table where it was filmed now has a plaque. So you can actually sit at that table.
Wow.
And it says, where Harry met Sally, hope you had what she had.
Nice.
On the table.
That's nice.
Now, according to the writer, Nora Ephron, the infamous line, I'll have what she's having, was suggested by Billy Crystal.
Nice.
Yeah, so he...
He'd be like,
she came up with
someone?
The idea, yeah, he had the line, so it was really nice. Yeah.
I like that, you know, it's great that the writer, the credited writer for the movie is totally fine with putting some of the most important parts of the movie
that's iconic,
back
that
on other people.
That was someone else's idea.
That's like saying, I didn't write that.
She gave him the credit. That's great.
Awesome.
That's good
of her.
Another montage here of Harry and Sally hanging out, more time passing, and another testimonial.
Fate.
Well, he was a head counselor at the boys' camp, and I was a head counselor at the girls' camp. And they had a social one night, and he walked across the room. I thought he was coming to talk to my friend Maxine, because people were always crossing rooms to talk to Maxine. But he was coming to talk to me, and he said,
I'm Ben Small of the Coney Island Smalls.
At that moment, I knew. I knew the way you know about a good melon.
I knew you know about a good melon. She's got a good sense of that.
Yeah.
That's funny. Now we're at the point now where, you know, how Sally's mates with Marie.
Yeah.
Harry's mates with Jess. And they decide to,
because again, there's more of this Marie still with,
so
she's still,
Jess,
Marie is still seeing
still
this bloke
seeing
who's married.
Guy. Yeah, yeah.
And so Sally's like, we need to hook you up.
Hook you guys up. So Sally is introducing Marie to Harry. Harry's introducing Jess to Sally.
Yeah, they think they're hooking
they're
each other.
Yes, and so they're at dinner. Doesn't go that well. Instead, Marie and Jess get on pretty well. And I think she,
by the way,
she quotes
I saw
his
that
story.
Coming a mile away.
Yeah, okay. Because I think at dinner she says, oh, look, restaurants are like the something. And then he goes, I wrote that. Remember?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I've
never been quoted myself to myself.
Yeah.
And so that way, they're hitting it
instant
off.
Instant hit.
And they get on really well and they decide, you know what? They're going to. I like this bit where they hear, like, I don't feel like walking.
Yeah.
If you don't think you're going to call Marie, do you mind if I call her?
No.
Good.
But for tonight, you shouldn't. I mean, Sally is very vulnerable right now. I mean, you can call Marie, it's fine, but just like wait a week or so, you know? Don't make any moves tonight.
Fine, no problem. I wasn't even thinking about tonight. Well, I don't really feel much like walking anymore. I think I'll get a cab.
I'll go with you.
Great.
Maxine!
Dude, just wait a week. Oh, yeah, great. Just wait a week. See you later. I'll come
with
you.
In his defense, Harry doesn't know that Sally's just had the same conversation as Rory anyway. Right. So, yeah.
So, anyway, another time passed. About 4 months later, they say here, Jess and Marie are getting married.
Hmm.
And Harry and
Sally.
Are we
hearing the testimonial? You're going to have me listen to another testimonial?
Another testimonial. Sorry.
There's a passage of time. There must be a testimonial.
That's right. Here it is.
A man came to me and said, I found a nice girl for you. She lives in the next village. And she is ready for marriage. We were not supposed to meet until the wedding. But I wanted to make sure. So I sneak into her village, hid behind a tree, watch her washing the clothes. I think if I don't like the way she looks, I don't marry her. But she looked really nice to me. So I said, okay, to the man. We get married. We married for 55 years.
Wow.
Wow.
55 years. So, I did jump the gun there. 4 months, the passage of time, 4 months later, Jess and Marie obviously getting on well. They're getting married. And I love that Harry and Sally are shopping for gifts at, remember that store, the Sharper Image? Remember
yes.
That? You buy those little
There's a bloke in Australia that imports their stuff and is always sending their massage guns and stuff. It's still around, I assume.
Yeah,
or,
I think so.
Or is it a catalogue as well?
I think it's a catalogue too.
Yeah, right.
And I like how Harry sort of slam dunking and goes, I've got to buy this. He goes, we're supposed to shop for them. You should look it for yourself. Yeah, sounds like me. I do that. Harry, though, sees his ex-wife.
Yep.
And it absolutely puts him into a tailspin.
Yep.
He's just absolutely broken when he sees her. They go to a dinner party with other dates. A bit more passage of time. I love how they're playing charades and they're off on their own and each are very picky about each other's dates. She goes, she's not right for him and he's too tall for her.
So it's starting to get a little bit more about their observations of each other's dating relationships.
But Sally, a little bit later, Sally calls Harry in tears. She finds out that her ex, Joe, remember the dude from the airport, is getting married.
Yeah.
And Harry goes over and just listens to her vent.
All this time, I've been saying Reddy didn't want to get married. But the truth is, he didn't want to marry me. He didn't love me.
If you could take him back right now, would you?
Great question.
No! But why didn't he want to marry me? What's the matter with me?
Nothing.
I'm difficult.
It's challenging.
I'm too structured. I'm completely closed off.
But in a good way.
No. I drove him away.
She's a great actress.
Oh, she's a genius, Very.
I
like how she was walking around the room and she's throwing the Kleenexes and he's just giving her the Kleenexes.
Throw another one,
That was really and that was really heartfelt because he's getting married. Why didn't he want to marry me? He didn't ask me.
That's why I think the question, would you want to be with him now, is a brilliant one.
Absolutely.
Because it's like,
clarified,
put this in perspective, love.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
And look, this comes not long after Harry spots his ex-wife with someone else and it affected him too.
It's kind of a conversation for him as well.
There was a long period there where, remember, he was over at Jess and Marie's house. And he's sort of thinking, you're going to argue over this plate one day when you're separated. And remember, he was in a funk?
Yes.
And so now she's in a similar funk now, but he's there to support her and then they end up starting to have a little smooch and they end up having sex.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is, I reckon, of such a great shot where the camera's sort of tight on Sally and she's sort of all feeling satisfied and happy and then it pans out and you see Harry wide-eyed amazement, like, what have we just done?
Do you think it's amazement or do you think it's shock?
No, he's stunned.
I don't think it's eyes open.
I think he's thinking, what have we just done?
Like, that's right.
He's amazed thinking that they've actually had sex.
Just not use the word amazed.
His eyes are wide.
I see it as almost regret.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's sort of they circle around that. There's awkwardness the next morning.
Yes.
Remember, and they leave and that at dinner. Remember, they say, "Look, that was a mistake. We shouldn't have done it." And Sally. Oh, this is a great scene where Sally calls Marie, and Harry calls Jess.
Yes.
To tell them what they just did.
Hello.
I'm sorry to call so early.
Are you all right?
No one I know would call it this hour.
I did something terrible.
What did you do? No one I know would call it this hour.
It's so awful.
I need to talk.
What happened?
What's the matter?
Mary came over last night.
I went over to Sally's last night.
Because I was upset that Joe was getting married.
And one thing led to another.
And before I knew it, we were kissing.
To make a long story short,
we did it.
They did it.
That's great, Sally.
We've been praying for it.
You should have done it in the first place.
For months we've been saying you should do it.
You guys belong together.
It's like killing two birds with one stone.
It's like two wrongs make a right. How was it?
The during part was good.
I thought it was good.
But then I felt suffocated.
Then I guess it wasn't.
Jesus, I'm sorry.
The worst.
I had to get out of there.
He just disappeared.
I feel so bad.
I'm so embarrassed.
I don't blame you.
That's horrible.
I think I'm coming down with something.
I think I'm catching a cold.
Look, it would have been great if it worked out, but it didn't.
Mm. I should never go to bed with anyone when you found out your last boyfriend is getting married.
Who's that talking?
Who?
Is that Jess on the phone?
It's Jane Fonda on the VCR.
It's Brian Gumbel.
You want to come over for breakfast?
No, I'm not up to it.
No, I
feel. It's the best. Look.
Good. I mean, it's so early.
But call me later if you want.
I'll call you later, okay?
Okay, bye.
Bye.
How do they not hear the other person? But anyway, go on.
Would
How do they both
believe...
have their own phone lines?
Exactly, yeah. Did you, this scene, and Rob Reiner in the extra features explains how hard that was to film.
Well, yeah, because you've got one shot and they need to synchronize the two others.
So he said that there were three separate sets. Now, I'm going to read you what he said, okay. Right? He said, we had three different sets, one where Bruno and Carrie were there, so Marie and Jess, separate set for Harry, third set for Sally. It was all on the same soundstage. It was almost like doing a recording in a studio. So phones are all hooked up to each other. There were no cuts, if you notice. And if someone makes a mistake and it's a three or four page scene, you can't cover it. You've got to cut into and you can't cut to anything. You've got to start again. How many times did they try to get it right? We shot it 61 times.
No.
If you remember at the end, they each hang up on their phone. So boom, 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 boom. In rhythm, it took forever to get that right. We did one, I think, in take 54. We did it. They hung up the phones perfectly. Then Bruno blew his last line, so he had to start all over again. 61 times it took him. Amazing.
That's wild.
Now, this is where they have dinner, remember, and they're telling each other, look, we shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it was tough. Marie and Jess get married. At the wedding, they kind of have an argument.
Yep.
It sort of draws them apart, that this argument.
Yeah, you realize this scene is about saying that whole friendship, it's gone.
Yeah.
They blew it.
Yeah.
This is the whole Seinfeld that, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
It's the.
Oh, mate, this is a Seinfeld. I think you should credit this movie.
Yeah, it should.
Anyway, it's Christmas. Sally, did you notice, is buying a tree on her own. Last time she bought it with Harry. Harry has been, though, calling her constantly.
Yes.
Trying to ask for her forgiveness.
Call me. Don't be afraid to just phone. Call me and I'll be around. Give me a call.
Hi, Harry.
Hello. Hi. I didn't know that you were there.
What are you doing?
I was just on my way out.
Where are you going?
What do you want, Harry?
Nothing. I just called to say I'm sorry.
Okay. I gotta go.
Wait a second. What are you doing for New Year's? Are you going to the Tyler's party? Because I don't have a date. And if you don't have a date, we always said that if neither one of us had a date, we could be together for New Year's and it could, you know, why don't...
I can't do this anymore. I am not your consolation prize.
Mm.
Goodbye.
Harsh or fair?
I think harsh from Sally there.
Because he was trying to call her. That was a montage of him ringing her for what seemed like weeks.
Yeah. He's rung her to apologize. He clearly wants to go back to what it was.
Yeah.
But what I read here is she doesn't want to be just friends.
Yeah. Ah, you mean she wants more and he's not giving it to her.
That's right.
Okay.
She doesn't want to be the consolation
prize. So why doesn't she answer the call then?
Because he just wants to be friends. He left. Yeah. When they had sex, he left.
Yeah.
So she sees him as having walked out. She's gone back to the car.
That's a different take to
where,
that I had.
Yeah. Where she's got this mentality that men, they come, they do their thing and they leave.
Yeah.
Which he talked about. Mm. So she's now put him in that.
Which is another Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Remember The Virgin?
Yeah.
That's another episode. Honestly.
It's a rule in the this and that thing. It's like, you don't have to stay. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So in Sally's mind, this is Harry from college leaving. Not caring, not interested.
The constant calling Like, she's ignoring his calls.
Yes.
Like, if she thinks that he's
just... Put it this way. If he was leaving messages saying, Sally, what we did, I don't regret it.
Yeah.
We should be together. Then she'd be ringing him back.
You reckon?
Yep.
So it was just calls just saying, call me. And she didn't respond until now.
He didn't indicate that.
Okay.
Because that dinner conversation, if you go back to that dinner conversation where they go, it was wrong.
But they both agreed, though.
No, but she didn't want to say that. She just knew it was the right thing to say.
Right.
Okay. She said that because she didn't want the awkwardness because she didn't feel that he really loved her.
Okay.
All right. That's where I'm at.
We'll cut to New Year's Eve and Harry's alone, goes out for a walk, sees another couple, I think, getting
cuddling. Because he thinks he's out on all his own.
I'm by myself. Yeah. Sally is at the New Year's Eve party, but she says, I like it how she turns to Marie and goes, I'm going home. She goes, it's 2 minutes to New Year's. He goes, I've got to go. She sort of puts on a happy front for the bloke she's talking to, and then she turns around and says, look, I'm out.
She smoke bombs the hell out of that joint.
Yeah, and then she's on her way out. Harry sees on his walk, he's at Washington Square Park.
And remember,
which is where they arrived in New York together.
This was the place.
And what he does, he starts running to see Sally.
Tries to get a couple of cabs.
New Year's Eve party. That's right. He doesn't get the cabs, and he realizes he wants to see her on New Year's Eve. So remember we said he's near Washington Square Park, right? Let's do a bit of New York geography here. The party where Sally is at the Puck Building in West Lafayette Street, about 3/4 of a kilometer away, just under a K away from Bleecker Street, via Bleecker Street. So if Harry runs at 8 kilometers an hour, it's a 6 minute run before arriving at the party.
Okay.
They made it. Which is a bit of calculation there.
Yeah, you're right.
Sally sees him as they're about to leave.
I'm sorry, Harry. I know it's New Year's Eve. I know you're feeling lonely, but you just can't show up here, tell me you love me, and expect that to make everything all right. It doesn't work this way.
Well, how does it work?
I don't know, but not this way.
How about this way? I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
You see? That is just like you, Harry. You say things like that and you make it impossible for me to hate you. And I hate you, Harry. I really hate you.
And then there's another Seinfeld episode where they talk about auld lang syne.
Yes, but did you pick that the last testimonial would be Harry and Sally?
No, never picked that.
The first time we met, we hated each other.
No, you didn't hate me. I hated you. The second time we met, you didn't even remember me.
I did too. I remembered you. The third time we met, we became friends.
We were friends for a long time.
And then we weren't.
And then we fell in love. Oh. 3 months later, we got married.
It only took 3 months.
12 years and 3 months.
We had a really wonderful wedding.
It was beautiful.
We had this enormous coconut cake.
Huge coconut cake with the tears, and there was this very rich chocolate sauce on the side.
Right, because not everybody likes it on the cake because it makes it very soggy.
It's particularly the coconut soaks up a lot of that stuff, so it's important to keep it on the side.
Right.
Keep it on the side. That's funny. I like that.
It's good.
A couple of good lines. Now, a lot of the great lines.
That testimony was as good as all the other ones because it was scripted.
There you have it, mate. All right. You just got to get over that. Get over that. A lot of the great lines we've already heard because the script is really sharp.
Yep.
But there are a couple that I want to showcase right here. And this first one is when she says, I've had great sex. And she says, who have you had great sex with? She said, with Sheldon. She goes, no, you didn't.
A Sheldon can do your income taxes. If you need a root canal, Sheldon's your man. But humping and pumping is not Sheldon's strong suit. It's the name. Do it to me, Sheldon. You're an animal, Sheldon. Ride me, big Sheldon. Doesn't work.
That's funny. I do love this when they're at the footy talking about memories, talking about his separation.
Yeah.
Marriages don't break up on account of infidelity. It's just a symptom that something else is wrong.
Really? Well, that symptom is fucking my wife.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
Righto. How did that happen?
Okay.
The drive from New York to Chicago, from the University of Chicago, New York from Chicago, they said it was an 18-hour drive.
That didn't seem that long.
No, it's actually, in reality, it's a 12.5 to 13-hour drive, Chicago to New York. So
yeah,
I don't
know
whether
about,
did the 18 hours include a sleepover somewhere, like a hotel? Did they stay in a hotel?
No, because he suggested that on the drive. They did it in one hit.
Near the end of the movie, this is a funny one. She's typing. Remember, she's typing? Mm-hmm. And she must be typing the world's longest word because she never once hits the space bar. Yeah, what's she doing? Things you might not know. In the first draft of the script, Harry and Sally do not end up together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They decided
movie executive
later,
says not, make it happen.
Later, Nora Ephron and Rob Reiner decided that, you know what, Harry and Sally really belong together and they changed it. Yeah.
Interesting.
The infamous things you did not know, the infamous orgasm scene was edited out of some of the airline versions of the film. Yeah.
Well, it's not like you have speakers running.
Yeah, not on some airline versions. They do that a lot. There's some scenes
airlines
cut out.
Airlines really do cut some
they
stuff.
They cut them out,
mainly
yeah.
plane crashes.
Maybe. Another thing you might not know, Tom Hanks turned down the role of Harry. Turned it down. He thought the film was too lightweight. Michael Keaton was also considered. Now, Tom Hanks' wife, Rita Wilson, said that at the time when Tom turned it down, he was going through a divorce and he was very happy to be not married anymore. So he thought he couldn't understand that a person going through a divorce would have anything other than just thinking, I'm so happy. Because you know how Harry was sort of depressed and down
That's
about
an interesting.
It.
Yeah. You can't really buy into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice?
Okay.
Harry is shown reading the Stephen King novel Misery.
I did notice he was reading a book and he went straight to the back page. Yeah.
And the film adaptation of Misery was directed by
Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, at the end of the movie, did you notice that they're during their testimonial, when they're sitting together and Sally is sitting on the couch with her hands folded, her arms folded, I think she's trying to hide her hand because she wasn't wearing a wedding ring. No wedding ring visible. She pulls out a hand and to gesture and there's no wedding ring on it. So, I don't know, did she keep a name and not want to wear a ring or what?
Costume department failed. Right.
Three questions for Trev.
Hit me.
Do Harry and Sally stay together?
Forever.
And eventually have children?
Yeah.
Could there have been a sequel?
No.
Yeah, I reckon a sequel with kids would have been funny. Funny.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right, it's not a sequel, it's more of a universe thing, you know, because it's like, you know, you've got to take these characters and play them out in a different way.
Question three.
Yeah.
Now, you have a type of platonic relationship, and my question was, is there anything familiar in any of the relationships depicted? And that'd be a resounding yes for you, because you do have a friend who's a female that she's a mate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Best mates.
That's never been an issue.
We
you
will
didn't
sit,
just get it out of the way or
sit,
nothing
no,
like
that. No. We will sit here for hours just watching Farnham talking rubbish and talking about our own situations and issues and whatnot.
So very much like Harry and Sally.
In their core friendship phase,
And so did that you related obviously to that part of the movie?
Yeah, broadly, yeah. Okay. And back in the day, like back at in year 11 and 12 when I was at school with Kirsty.
Oh, so you had a school with her?
Yeah,
she was
your
school friend?
Yeah, and I had my own line at home, my own phone line.
Okay.
We would sit and just chat on the phone.
Wow.
100%.
Watching the same TV shows?
No, probably not.
So it's when what's her name?
Talking rubbish, Kirsty, yeah.
When Trevor met Kirsty. All right. Give us your wrap-up and rating, mate.
Well, it was going to be quite high.
Oh,
but
come
I've taken
on.
A point off.
Don't do that.
I'll show you
my rating when you tell me yours. Don't take the point off. Tell us what you feel. Okay.
Right. My original feeling was 8.5.
Okay.
I'll stick with it. I'll give them a pass on the bloody
fake. They're actors,
fake.
Mate. They're all actors.
It added so much that they were real. 8.5.
Okay. I'm a 9.
You're a 9. Okay.
I'm a 9.
We're getting closer together, you
we
and
are.
I.
We are. Well, I really like this movie. It's an easy watch, short movie.
Yeah.
I find that when it's on, I watch it to the end.
Yeah.
If it's on, if I'm flicking channels or something. Well, anyway, that was great. Good. So what'd you give it? 8.5. You stuck with 8.5?
I'm sticking with 8.5.
Good for you when Trevor met
Reluctant 8.5.
Good for you. Now, let's talk about next week. Next week, you're going to love it. It's a short movie, shorter movie.
Yeah.
It's called Phone Booth.
Phone Booth?
Starring Colin Farrell, directed by Joel Schumacher. This is out of my hidden gems.
I enjoy hidden gems.
In the movie, you're not going to know this because you never heard about it, but what is Colin Farrell's occupation in the movie? Now, in the movie, he's talking on the phone most of the movie.
Right.
Now, he's not the nicest bloke. What is his occupation, do you think? Okay. I know you're not going to know it, but I'm hoping you could guess it, okay? What is his occupation in the movie? Is he A, a cop, B, a criminal, C, a publicist, or D, a drug dealer?
Publicist.
He's a publicist. So that stood out for you, didn't it?
Yeah, because it's, yeah.
I thought it being so unusual, you would, of the other three, you would have, that would have thrown you off.
No, it stood out.
He's a publicist, yeah.
But, interesting.
Yeah, we're going to find out a bit more about that in Phone Booth. But I'm glad you, when Harry met Sally, I'm glad you enjoyed that and that you actually, I did think of that in the back of my mind, that you would have had some sort of, you would have related to it. And I'm glad that you shared your thoughts.
Very good.
Your honest thoughts. Good for you, Trev. Talk to you next week.
When Phone Booth meets phones. That's, I don't know. Phone Booth, really?
Phone Booth, yeah.
Never heard of it.
Joel Schumacher, great director. Good movie. Good movie. You're going to love it. Bye-bye.
Bye.